Welcome to Excerpts from the Open Forum. On this program, we'll hear Mr. Harold Camping answering pre-recorded questions regarding issues from the Bible. Here's our first question.
Yes, Brother Camping, John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43.
Let's look at that. John 12, verse 42 and 43. We read, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Ah, it looks like there's a contradiction here, doesn't it?
Well, you just said that if you believe, only the elect would believe. Apparently, these gentlemen here, they believe, but they're not a part of the elect.
Well, it doesn't say they're not part of the elect. If they became true believers, the only reason they became true believers is because they were part of the elect. But on the other hand, the word believe does not necessarily mean salvation. God, remember in the parable of the sower that went forth to sow, the seed that fell on the rocky soil, Christ explained, it's those who hear the word and they believe for a while, and then because there is no root, they fall away. In other words, they never become saved. They acted, they were convinced, they had believed, but they had not become saved. In other words, the word believe is not necessarily identifying with salvation. We can believe on him and not become saved. If we believe unto salvation, it is only because we have become saved.
Yeah, because I look at that verse where it says that they wouldn't confess him because they were afraid of the Pharisees. I compare that with Matthew chapter 10:33. Christ says, "If you deny me, I will deny you to my Father." And by them not confessing Christ at that point, they're in actuality denying him, aren't they?
Well, in other words, they, 10:33, let's read that. "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." That's a good check verse, a very good check verse, because they were denying Christ. They believed on him. That is, they were becoming intellectually convinced that maybe Christ is the Messiah, and that he is the one they wanted to serve. But they did not confess him before men. They denied him, and that's very evident in that they wanted the praise of men more than the praise of God. And so this is a verse in John, in the Gospel of John, that is telling us, watch out for that word believe, because it is not necessarily talking about salvation.
Right, because they also said even the devils believe and tremble.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you for calling.
Oh, wait, Brother Camping.
Yes.
Can I ask you something else?
Yes.
Could you read John chapter 14, verse 17?
John 14, verse 17. There we read this. Let's start with verse 16 to pick up the context. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the Lord cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Now, what is your question?
Well, I was looking at this verse here, and I guess that the Holy Spirit can also be with you, and then at another point it'll be in you, because they didn't actually receive the Holy Spirit until Pentecost, right? But yet he said, and another thing that confuses me too is he says, "I will pray the Father and he will send the Comforter." So And that came at Pentecost, but here it's saying that the Holy Spirit was already there. He says the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is with you now, but it shall be in you.
Yes, but you see, we this verse standing alone, we cannot understand what Christ is saying, standing alone. We with you, in you, I'm going to send him to you. We're very confused. We have to read these verses in the light of what the rest of the Bible teaches. Now, the fact of the matter is that the Holy Spirit is always in the world. The Holy Spirit is eternal God. Even in the local congregations, the Holy Spirit is there because he is because the Holy Spirit is God. But when he's talking about in you, that is in the congregation, he's talking about the fact that he will be there to apply the Word of God to affect the salvation of people there. We know that because that is what the sending of the Comforter was all about. And we see this in reality as we read Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And so we can only understand this verse as we learn what God's program was. But we must remember there are two areas where the Holy Spirit will always be. One is that he will always indwell the life of the true believer. Even during the time when no one was becoming saved, the half hour of silence that we just went through a few years ago, in the life of the true believer, he didn't leave any true believer. They remained saved. And he didn't abandon the world either, because God is God. But during that period, he was not applying the word to anybody, so they became saved. And that's why there was silence in heaven at that time. There was no rejoicing because someone had become saved.
Good evening, Mr. Campion.
Good evening.
I want to ask you a question concerning the fourth commandment.
Yes.
Have you read the fourth commandment thoroughly and very, easily?
Oh, I'll tell you, I have studied the fourth commandment very, very carefully. Very carefully. And that's why I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is a ceremonial law. Because when we look at all the references in the Bible that relate to the keeping of the seventh day Sabbath, that is where the focus is. For example, let me give you a verse again in Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. What God is saying here, that when the Israelite kept the fourth commandment, that was a sign, as they were not to do any work on the Sabbath day, so they're not to do any work in trying to get saved. God would do all the work to save them. Remember Numbers 15? Remember the man who picked up a few sticks on the Sabbath day? He broke the law just a tiny, tiny bit, just picked up a few sticks. And when Moses asked God, what shall we do to this man? God said, stone him to death. And so they stoned him to death. Why? Why such a terrible punishment for such a minor infraction? He hadn't built a fire. He hadn't done a lot of work. He wasn't building his house. He picked up a few sticks. God is teaching through that a very important spiritual lesson. If we think that that God has done most of the work of saving us, but now we have to do a tiny bit ourselves. We have to accept Christ, or we have to get baptized in water, or we have to keep the seventh day, or we have to do this, or we have to do that. and then it'll guarantee our salvation. We're like a man who picked up the few sticks. We're still under the wrath of God. Now, unfortunately, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a different gospel. They have a different authority because they believe the writings of Ellen G. White were from God, and they cannot be from God because God, her visions were received after the Bible was completed. Therefore, they could not have come from God. And that's why those dear people can't see this at all. They are trusting in their authority, which includes the visions of Ellen G. White.
I don't know. I believe you haven't read that fourth commandment right, because it said, "Thou not thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor anything within thy gates." And the Sabbath point to Christ as the Creator. So
well, excuse me. That is true in Exodus 20, because God established the importance of that command, that his whole plan was that God would do all the work to save us. But you remember Deuteronomy 5, where the Ten Commandments are given? What was the basis for that? Let me read to you from Deuteronomy 5. That is, are you aware of that account of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5? If you believe if you're interested in that, you better know everything the Bible has to say about that. But in Deuteronomy 5, God says in verse 14, "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." Do you understand what God is saying there? You see, he is saying, I did all the work to save you. When he brought Israel out of Egypt, that was a picture of salvation. And he did all the work. And he says, now remember that. That's why you keep the seventh-day Sabbath in the Old Testament. It is a sign to show that I have done all the work to save you. And this you are not taught in your church because you have a different authority than the Bible alone. And
Mr.
so
Campin,
you're in deep trouble.
Mr. Campin.
Yes.
You know the day is coming pretty soon. Jesus coming soon. And between the Sabbath and the first day of the week, there's going to be a showdown. And then God going to see who is who. And
yes,
you, I hope you are alive to see it.
You are absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. When Christ comes, those who are putting their trust in a false gospel, like the Seventh-day Adventist gospel, is not the true gospel. They have a different authority than the Bible alone and in its entirety, and they're going to find they're in deep trouble. And this is why today we have to be so careful that we're following a gospel that is based on the Bible alone. It alone is the Word of God. And you are very correct that is coming very soon. And wonderfully, it's still the day of salvation. It's still time to cry out to God for mercy.
You are listening to excerpts from the Open Forum on Family Radio. Mr. Harold Camping is answering pre-recorded questions about the Bible. If you'd like to hear more of Mr. Camping's teaching, you can hear and even download Open Forum broadcasts, Bible studies, and more. Just go to familyradio.com and click on Audio Archives. Let's continue now with another question.
Mr. Campin?
Yes.
Yeah, Acts of Apostles, chapter 13.
I'm sorry, what book?
Acts of Apostle, Acts.
Acts chapter 14.
Chapter 13, 1, 3, 13.
13.
Yeah.
Yes.
Verse 1, 2, 2. Verse 1 and 2.
Verse 1 and 2. Let's read that. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Terah the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, what is your question?
Could you explain how when they fasted and prayed to the Lord, how the Holy Spirit commanded them? These individuals, were they prophets that were...
Separate me, Barnabas and Saul?
Yes.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Yes.
You must remember that the Bible is not yet completed, and God is still bringing words, messages, through a voice or through a vision or other means. That was all possible in that day because the Bible had not yet been completed. For example, we read in Jeremiah where God spoke to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah had the words that God gave him to write down. And here God is speaking to the church here in Antioch, and is instructing them to send Saul and or Paul and Barnabas to be the first missionaries up into Asia Minor, which is today's present country of Turkey. And that was possible. Now, a few decades later, when the Bible was completed, and God came to the last chapter of the last book, right near the end of the chapter, Revelation 22, verse 18, God said, If anyone adds to the words of the prophecy of this book, I will add to him the plagues written herein. And by that statement, God said, Never again will someone hear my voice until we come to the end of the world. There'll be no further instruction in a verbalized or an articulated way, as we find here, for example, in Acts 13, that will never happen again now that the Bible has been completed. That is, it won't happen until God is finished with his whole salvation plan, and we come to the last day when everyone will hear the voice of Christ as the chief messenger.
Why was Simeon called Niger?
Why was
Simeon called Niger? Are there other Simeons? Or was that a nickname?
Oh, yes. Simeon was not an uncommon Jewish name, and Simeon maybe his father's name was Niger. We don't know. God gives us no further instruction about this, except that again and again, as you go through the Bible, you will find that God names people. For example, go through 2 Chronicles very carefully, and you'll find the name, or 1 Chronicles, rather, 1 Chronicles, and you'll find whole lists of names of people doing this and people doing that. God is writing that all down that way to instruct us that God works through individuals. Here, for example, he's named several men in the church at Antioch, and he's not just saying that the committee sent out Paul and Barnabas, but it is these were those who were ministering there. And just like when we become a child of God, our name is known to the Lord.
How do we know that there's 66 books in the Bible? Many Catholics say there's more than 66 books.
Well, we have to start out with the basic the fundamental truth. The Bible is God's word. It is not man's word. Now, unfortunately, in a great number of theologians don't clearly understand that the Bible is God's word. They will say the Bible is infallible, the Bible is inerrant, and yet when they write, they say Isaiah wrote this, and Paul wrote that, and Peter said the other thing, and the implication is very strong that they don't understand that God is the author. He is the author. Holy men of old spoke as God the Holy Spirit moved them, and that applies to every book of the Bible. Now, therefore, this is God's book. It is not man's book. And when God put the Bible together, he is the one who also caused the Bible to be put together the way it is put together. In other words, God is not going to leave part of his word out that he wants to be in the Bible, if that is what he wants there, any more than he's going to leave a sentence out if he really wants it to be there. The Bible is God's book. He is the author. And so we can be absolutely certain that the Bible we have is the Word of God. And as a matter of fact, once we begin to really understand how God wrote the Bible, as we spend time comparing Scripture with Scripture, and we see the message of the gospel hidden in the historical events, the historical parables that are set forth, and we see a cohesiveness that defies any human possibility, that same, the truths always come through exactly the same way, even though the Bible was put together by God over a period of 1,500 years, then we understand, yes, that's because it's God's Word. But on the other hand, the moment we read a book, for example, like Judith or one of the Apocryphal books or the Book of Thomas or any of these books that some people would like to say they maybe they should have been a part of the Bible, immediately we can see that they don't have the same cohesiveness, the same unity that we find throughout the Bible itself. So we can be certain that when we have the Bible, we have the Word of God, and there's nothing missing there at all.
Thank you, brother. One more question.
Yes.
Can non-believers be possessed by a demon?
A non-believer can be possessed by a demon. Every human being is a body with a spirit essence called a soul. And when we become saved, that soul is infilled by God himself. I don't understand that, how God can infill me, but that is what the Bible says. And he has been given eternal life, and he has an intense desire to only do the will of God in his soul, and he therefore does not belong to Satan at all. But on the other hand, here's an unsaved person who also has a spirit essence, a soul. But that soul is not energized by God. It's not occupied by God. He does not have eternal life. But he still have a spirit. Has a spirit essence. And an evil spirit, Satan or any evil spirit at will, can occupy that person. Now, we may not know that that person has been occupied by an evil spirit. For example, when Judas, who betrayed Jesus, his soul was occupied by Satan himself. Satan came into him, and the other apostles had no idea that this had happened. So just because someone doesn't outwardly give any evidence of being occupied by an evil spirit, it doesn't mean that they can't be. Now, on the other hand, there are undoubtedly far more people than there are evil spirits. But at any time, any unsaved person can be occupied by evil spirits.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, two questions, please. With David battled Goliath, how tall was Goliath?
He was just a few inches short of 10 feet. He was 6 cubits and a span A cubit is a foot and a half. That would be 9 feet. A span is about 8 inches. So he probably was about 9 feet, 8 inches tall.
How tall was David?
We don't know, but David was a tall man. The average height of people on that day probably, as near as we can tell from archaeological evidence, could have been around 5 feet, 5.5 feet. We know that Saul, the first king, was head and shoulders taller than the average, and we know that when David was telling King Saul, "I will fight with Goliath," then Saul told David, "Here, you better try and put on my armor if you're going to go out to fight." And David tried to put that on, and then he said, "No, I can't. That won't work." And so it could be that David also was tall. He might have been 6 feet tall. We don't know.
What's your opinion on these pastors and these ministers doing same-sex marriages? What's your opinion on them people?
Well, I'll leave people to God. All I can tell you that the idea of homosexuality or same-sex marriages and all is a complete rebellion against God.